Okay, so this event is about what does it take to actually feel good about oneself. So, because we're dealing with a feeling, I think it's important to first kind of preface of what a feeling actually is. We usually look at our feelings from, I think, an unfair perspective. At least from the perspective of the feeling itself. So we're usually sitting in our head and we view our feelings as, do I feel good or do I feel bad? If I feel good, great. If I feel bad, how do I feel better? We're not necessarily trying to listen to the feeling. We're not really necessarily looking at the feeling as its own entity. Something that really needs to be heard, something that has value, like actual idea or insight to share with us. We more just kind of think, if I feel good, great. If I don't feel good, I'll just like try to ignore it until it goes away or I feel better. And while that can be good enough to keep us productive, what I found with it's definitely not ideal. It's definitely not healthy. And what I think it does is create in many people who have this kind of relationship to their feelings, a lingering feeling of like not really feeling good about oneself. So, and I'm going to explain, and the reason why that is, I'm going to explain. But first I'll explain to you by giving a very different perspective on what feelings are and how we can interact with them. If you entertain the idea that a feeling is almost like an entirely different entity that's within you. It has its thoughts, it has ideas, it has values, it has a message, it has something it wants to share. If you entertain that concept, that possibility, if that's what an emotion could be, that's what a feeling could be. And then you start to learn how to interact and treat it in that way and communicate with it in that way where there's a back and forth. You listen, then you respond. It listens to you, it responds. If you can entertain almost having a conversation with a feeling, like if it's like with a feeling as if it's another person inside of you, then there's a whole new door that opens up in terms of, how one interacts with oneself, and then the role that feelings have in our lives. Feelings can almost be like guides. They're meant to be. I mean, I remember years ago, someone I was learning from, gave me this idea that our feelings are really there to kind of direct us in where we're supposed to go, or at least give us in more of an insight as to where we're going or where we could potentially go. And that was fascinating to me, and then it made sense. I mean, if our feelings are just, if I feel good, great, and if I don't feel good, I'll just ignore it, then like, why do we even have them? If we have them, there must be a purpose. So what's the purpose? And why do we need them? And the purpose, I think, of our feelings is to give us the opportunity to explore different approaches to situations that we may have never thought of, that we couldn't even possibly, with the limitations of the thinking part of our brain, we wouldn't be able to think and consider these things were it not for these other feelings and understanding what they're trying to say. Now, in specific situations in our life, if we have a feeling about something, we have an emotion about something, and we don't listen to it, what we're missing out on is a different perspective about how to approach a given situation in our life, how to approach work, how to approach our career, how to approach spirituality. We might be missing that. So we're missing a piece of a way in which we could be doing things that we're not necessarily, we wouldn't be able to think of. But when it comes to ourselves, when we miss out on our feeling, it's not just we're missing out on a way of doing something. We're missing out on a part of who we are. And so it's almost like if I don't listen to my feeling, maybe I'll be 20, 30% less effective in what I'm trying to do because I'm not trying to listen to what my feeling is telling me. But when it comes to my connection with myself, when it comes to me feeling good about who I am, if I'm not listening to my feelings about myself, then I'm missing out like more like in the realm of, let's say, 70, 80%. Like I'm missing a massive chunk of like an insight about me that if I would get it, it'd be like, oh, wow, now I understand. Which is why, you know, when people start to do real emotional work, when they really start to work through their feelings, they heal and they develop much healthier attitudes toward themselves, which then influence the way in which they behave in the world. But the impact, the biggest impact is felt inside, because the feeling is a much greater percentage of who you are than it is a percentage of what you do and how you interact with the world. And so the way feelings work, at least the way I've experienced and the way I've seen them work, is that the more we interact with them as real entities and real beings, the more positive they become and the more we enjoy the experience of having them. So if whenever I'm going and approaching a situation and I have feelings about this, if I can really check in with my feelings and consider what they're trying to tell me, right? They don't nag me as much. They kind of behave like people do or like children do. The more you ignore them, the more frustrated they get. The more you listen to them and the more you can communicate with them, the more positive the relationship with them gets and the more there's like a collaboration. And then we just feel better in what we're doing, and we feel like our feelings are helping us. That's in what we're doing. When it comes to ourselves and how we feel about ourselves, when we start listening to our feelings, what that means is that we actually start to feel good about ourselves. We start to actually feel like we're good enough. Because if we don't listen to our feelings, if we don't listen to a part of us, this feeling inside of us, which is trying to say something to us about ourselves, then there's going to be this frustration inside, which then we interpret as, I don't feel good about myself. I don't feel good enough. It's not that the idea that I have here is that it's not that I'm not good enough. It's that I'm not in touch with my feelings. So my feelings are frustrated. They don't feel good. If I was able to really interact with what my emotions were telling me and to listen to them, I'd feel more complete. I wouldn't be like separate from part of myself. And these emotions inside of me, these feelings inside of me, they would feel complete. They would feel like they're being heard. And because they're being heard and listened to, then they're not annoyed and they're not frustrated. So they feel good. So then it's like, I feel good because my emotions feel good. And this is, you know, and so I think this idea and this concept, I think could really very much change the mental health of a person because I've really seen it. I've seen people I've worked with have all different kinds of challenges in life, but underneath so many of them is this thought of like feeling like I'm not good enough, of lacking confidence in oneself. And what I've seen time and time again is that there's nothing wrong with the person. There's nothing wrong with the self. It's just that the emotions, the feelings are not being felt. They're not being heard. And as soon as they're heard, it's like then there's a happiness and a calmness and a peace and a sense of inner peace that settles in, because the emotions are not screaming like, listen to me, listen to me. They don't need a scream because they're being listened to. I can go and give some more examples of this, but if there's any questions, I can answer some questions now.
No questions so far. I mean, it's a very interesting concept. I've never thought about feelings like this. A in like the idea of them being, well, I guess the idea of them being detached or being some sort of entity into themselves, yes, but this analogy that you're giving to them, like this kid who is feeling ignored and it's just causing them to be frustrated because of that is very interesting. I've never heard that before. I've never heard of this relationship that we have with feelings in that type of a way, that if they would be more acknowledged more and I mean, I know that acknowledging feelings helps us deal and manage with the feelings, and we can work with that. But to the point that the feeling will become more positive because of that is just something new to me.
Yeah, I mean it was very new to me as well. It was very new to me as well. And it's really something that you understand it if you experience it, like when you can experience it, and there's not it's not I don't think that the way you go about experiencing it has to be so complicated or so complex. The most important thing, I think, is to, if you ever have the experience where you're talking to someone and you feel like this person is not really listening to what you have to say. So, like, you're not really even going to try to say anything because, like, this person doesn't have an open mind. They're not even listening. I think that a lot of the time, the way we go through trying to practice being mindful or calm ourselves down or feel better, it's not that we really want to listen to our emotions, is that we just want them to settle down and stop bothering us. And so they're not really going to speak if we're not really ready to listen. And sometimes we're like, well, what do they have? Like, just developing somewhat of an open mind to listen can make a huge difference. And so often it's just sitting and listening. If you just sit and you make the space to listen, things will come forward, and they can come through various modalities and various methods. And everybody, I think, reacts and responds differently to the method and the way. And I think anybody can really start to find their own way. But the most important thing is to just be willing to listen. Something as simple as opening up, having a pen and a blank piece of paper, or just a blank document if you're on a computer, and just being able to kind of, as you go through emotion or you're going through a feeling, to just sit and listen to what it's saying, and then try to have an interaction with it. Right, like listen to what it says, and then just ask a question, like, what does that mean? What are you trying to say? Answers typically will come out. And if you just do this for just maybe even 5, 10 minutes, and you look at what's on the paper, you'll be like, there'll be insight. They'll be like, oh wow. And along with that, typically will come a feeling of being a little bit more settled within oneself. And then also having an appreciation of the wisdom that's inside of oneself. So one of my favorite stories is where this guy calls someone on the phone for advice, and he says all different kinds of doubts in his life of what should he do and in life and his career and spiritually. And the answer he gets is, ask yourself. Like, just ask yourself. And it's like, oh, really? I don't need to ask. Yeah, like, you can sometimes ask other people, but why don't you ask yourself? See how far you get within yourself. And so sometimes we only ask ourselves and we think that we're trying to think. And that's where we get stuck, is that our thinking is incredibly powerful, but it has its own limitations. The reason why we have emotions is because emotions are able to process information in a very different way. In a way, I think, which is a lot faster than thinking. In general, body sensations and feelings, they work faster than thoughts. You know, it's like anybody who's intuitive, who's emotional, right, will react faster. And so we'll pick up information from the environment faster. You might not know necessarily the reason for a feeling, but if you listen to it enough, you'll start to get eventually it'll be like, oh, wait, now I get it. It's like kind of like you really want to do something, or you have this idea, and then your wife like tells you something, and at first you're like, what? I don't understand. But then afterwards you realize, oh, wow, she was right. How did she know that? It's just different parts, different people process information differently, and different emotions. And the way our thinking brain and the way our emotions process information is very different. And so as we try to listen, and the more we just listen, and the way to listen, the most important thing is just to sit and just block out everything else except for whatever that emotion is saying or doing, and just trying to connect to it in the way that seems most natural to you.
Very, very interesting. I have to try this. I'm not going to say like you can't, go through life. You definitely are aware of different emotions and you think about them and you wonder sometimes like why, but to this extent of really sitting with that one single perhaps feeling and getting into it more is really interesting. Like, let's say a person has a situation where they're feeling uncomfortable or they're just feeling poorly about themselves. Yeah, usually you want to suppress that. You want to get into a space where you're feeling confident, you're feeling present and all good. And what you're saying is just really the opposite. If you want to get to that good space, deal with the uncomfortable.
Right. So that's a really good example. So if a person's in a state of like almost beating up on themselves or feeling really bad, so if you start going into that and you start to really kind of see what that is, what is going on, typically there'll be a frustration about something. And so if you start to try to figure out, well, what is that thing that you're frustrated with? So the initial voice that's heard is, well, I'm frustrated with myself, right? But that's just an upset child just having a temper tantrum. You have to sit down with it and say, what about me am I frustrated about? What about myself? What is it? Get clear. Once you open up the dialogue, then, and this doesn't mean that we do whatever our emotions tell. It's like with our kids, we don't do whatever they tell us, but if we listen to them, we'll know how to deal with them a lot better. And at least, even if we're not going to do what they want, they'll feel listened to. So the emotions are the same way. So say, okay, what am I frustrated about in myself? And then out of a dialogue like that, there could actually be a real strong clarity of maybe one specific thing about me that needs to change. And that when I do change it, I'll feel better about myself for two reasons. Number one, I'll have made an improvement. Number two, I'll have listened to this emotion inside of me. And now the emotion inside of me will feel listened to. And so there'll just be more inner peace. And then I'll realize, wait a second, I didn't make this improvement in my life because so-and-so told me, because I heard my rabbi say, or this say, or my friend told me. It came from me. So what does that say about me that I was able to make the improvement on my own? And so that's where we start feeling much better about ourselves. If we can use our emotions to direct the improvements that we need to make, we feel much more confident and empowered about who we are. It's not about making the improvement. It's not about making the change. It's how we come to do it. If it comes from within us, it's a much deeper change and it's a much more meaningful change than if it comes from somewhere else or someone else.
Very true. Very, very true. Thank you.